he's good all the time. Doesn't matter if anybody else thinks he's good. I believe he's good to me all the time. And the Bible says that his praises shall continually be in my mouth, and that I need to magnify the Lord, and I need to praise God. And you know, it is an honor and a privilege to be here at Faith Works Church. And I tell you, I met your pastor last year, and I just really believe that in this area, God is just going to do an awesome work of his spirit. Amen. And I tell you, Pastor Bill is, we go to the men's retreat together. We eat. Boys, do we eat. Ladies, they're telling you they're going there to do anything else. Most of the time, we're going there to eat. And so, it's coming up this weekend. And then I recognized the oyster guy. Yeah, we had some oysters last year. That was good. And I come from just over the water. We saw the bridge going up too on the other side. I come from a place called Shimogui. Shimogui's so big that it says hello and goodbye on the same side of the sign. And so that's where I'm from. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, don't despise the days of small beginning. And so we're from Shimogui, and I pastor in my hometown. Capilay is just 2 miles away from where I grew up. And God is doing some great things. How many know God is in the business of doing great things? Amen. He really is. You know, 25 years ago when we got saved, we were persecuted. The only other church, in our town is the Catholic Church. There's no other church. There's us, and then there's the Catholic Church. So the options, there's not a whole lot of option. I think that's a good thing for myself to just tell you the truth. But anyway, and so 25 years ago, we really got persecuted when people started to get saved in the 80s. You know, in the charismatic renewal, people were just getting saved all over the place. I got ladies in my church that are 85, 86, 87, and when they got saved, they would get together all the time. They'd open up the phone book and pray for every person in the phone book in the town of Capilay. For every individual person, they'd just be there and they'd just pray. They'd believe God for God to do something one day in Capilay. And I tell you what, God is a faithful God. He hears the prayers of the consistently righteous. Amen. And so 35 years after, they told me, me and my wife, we took over that church 2 years ago. There were 11 people voted on us. We were 11. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord, there was a building. God did some tremendous things. And in 2 years, every Sunday, there's over 200 people that come to church. And God has just done some wonderful, wonderful things. You know why? Because he's God. And people say, well, we prayed, we've believed God. And I'll tell you what, you pray and you believe till the now of God shows up in your life. Amen. I like it when God says now. And you know what? The Bible says, in my life, I said, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You know, we got to realize that no matter what we do in God and ministry and life, it's the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's not Pastor Brian's doing, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. And so if we keep our focus on it being the Lord's doing, the Lord will continue to do. Amen. He'll continue to move. He'll continue to do great things in our lives. Amen. Now, we've pastored, me and my wife, for 20 years. And I remember I told God, God, the last place on earth I want to go is Capilay. I know those people. They're a bunch of heathens. I grew up with those people. God, I never want to go to Capilay. I know my family. I know who they are. And so after 20 years, God says, now I'm going to send you to Capilay. I said, Jesus, we got a problem. And so I talked to the Lord about it, but you know, I was 3 days away from moving to Toronto with Marcus Martinez. I don't know if you watched Miracle Channel or Grace TV, but he's on there called Destiny and Dominion Church in Toronto. And he was going to hire me to be his full-time church planter. And we were going to plant churches in the city of Toronto. And I've been trying to get to Toronto for 17 years. Told God, I said, grew up in the country. I want to live in the city. And anyway, then the pastor tells me he's going to resign. And I said, Lord, we got to pray. Church, 400 people, 11. Paycheck. No paycheck. Benefits. No benefits. Jesus, are you sure? Capital A. And then I sat on a communion table, and the Lord said something to me. He said, son, he says, you've been working for me for 20 years. He says, I've let you come home to enjoy your harvest. Last year, 20 of my family members gave their hearts to Jesus. Great. 2 months ago, I had the privilege of seeing my dad come to the Lord Jesus Christ after 28 years of prayer. Sometimes you wonder why the Lord. See, the Lord's not trying to keep something from us. And if we can understand, he's not trying to keep something from us. He's trying to get something to us. A lot of time the Lord asks us something to do and we think he's trying to keep something from us, keep something away from us. But the Lord is really trying to bring something into our lives. And I tell you, I am so grateful that I get to serve the living God. I am so grateful that I get to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell you, this is not a job. This is an honor to be in his kingdom. It's an honor to be a minister of the gospel. I like what Paul the Apostle said. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I tell you what, I even like what Paul said. He said, I have been made a minister according to the grace of God. I found out in my life, it's not my doing that's ever made me a minister, but it's been the Lord's doing in my life. It's been God, what God desires to do. And I tell you what, when God shows up in this place, begins to heal people, it'll be the Lord's doing, not a man's doing. It'll be God's presence. It'll be God's glory. It'll be God's anointing. And we're going to give him all the praise, the glory, and the honor. You got to find out, like, is it all right if I share just a little bit of my testimony? I grew up at the age of 2 and a half. I had epilepsy. I used to take 20 seizures before taking the bus to go to school every day. I'd fall off the monkey bars and kids would laugh at me. I'd take 24 pills a day and fall asleep in class, and the teacher called me stupid. The teacher said I'd never do anything with my life. I never would become anything. The doctor told my mom, says, and my dad, he'll never get married. He's not able to have, he won't be able to have children. The amount of medication we're giving him is frying his liver. He will have liver problems in his life. And so they begin to prepare them. Says, you're eventually, he's going to take a seizure that is going to be so bad that oxygen won't go to his brain and he'll end up in a home for the rest of his life. That was the purpose and the plan that the enemy had for my life. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God. Amen. But God. And so at the age of 12 years old, I got an uncle that comes home from London, Ontario. He just got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, was an alcoholic, and God delivered him. I'm at the kitchen table. I haven't even received Jesus yet as my Lord and Savior. So I know it was nothing I did. I'm not even saved. And my uncle looks at me and he says, Brian, he says, the Lord told me on the way here, if I put my hands on you, this will be the last day you ever had a seizure. And so I remember it like yesterday. I'm at my mom's table. And all of a sudden, my uncle put his hand upon my head. I felt something warm just go from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. This Tuesday, May 22nd, 1985 was the last day I ever had a seizure in my life. Hallelujah. That was it. He restored my mind. You know what? I got a photographic mind. I'm sharp as a tack, glory to God. They said, he didn't only heal me, he restored my mind. I can read something, watch something, and it just sticks, praise God. And I'm a little bit excited. I just came home from T.G. Jakes Pastor's Conference in Orlando. And so, you know, I mean, something's just stirring on the inside of my belly. But I want to tell you something. It don't matter what anybody tells you. It don't matter how dim the devil makes your life to be, but God, when you get a but God moment in your life, it changes everything around. Amen. Amen. And so that happened to me 20 some years ago, 28 years ago. My God, I'm telling my age, aren't I? 28 years ago. And so it was an awesome thing that happened in my life. Oh, there went the real French accent. Glory to God. An awesome thing. But God is good. And so that's 28 years ago, and I give God glory and praise for it every day of my life. I got a beautiful wife that he gave me. I got a 15-year-old daughter that today, she made the video. Our young people went to Rhode Island to the Awakening Conference of the Youth Conference down there. And she made a video, and she closed the video, and she was preaching on that video. I said, there's my daughter. I'm telling you what the enemy wants to rob from God's children. But I tell you what, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm telling you what, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is nothing in our lives that God cannot do. Now that there we begin to, oh, thank you very much. Hallelujah. I'm going to be here long. I got three of these. Glory to God. But listen, God's done some wonderful things. Then after, you know, they diagnosed me. I'm preaching in the church in Shediac, and I'm pastoring the people there. And every day I get up and I throw up blood. Every day for 6 months. I'm in the shower and there's blood and there's blood and there's blood. I'm preaching and I can't talk for 3 days. And the devil said, it says, it's throat cancer and you're going to die. And I didn't even tell my wife. I just stood on the word. I said, I shall live and not die and declare the mighty works of my God. The same anointing that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it dwells in me and it quickens my mortal body. I kept standing on the word, standing on the word, standing on the word. So then we go on vacation. I like going on vacation to Florida. Florida is my favorite place in the world to be. I tell you, I love Florida. Oh, my God. I said, Jesus, now I never want to go to Florida. But Jesus, don't ever send me to Florida. Hallelujah. Just believe in another 10, 15 years, I could have a church in Florida for 6 months of the year and then have one in Canada. But anyway, we went to Florida. We went to Orlando Christian Center, and Pastor Benny Hinn was preaching. Now, some people don't like Benny Hinn. I'm not telling you if you like him or don't like him. It doesn't matter to me. But you should love him because the Bible commands us to love. Hallelujah. So anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what happened in my life. So anyway, I'm there in the meeting, and we're there. And you got to know that, you know, I've been battling with this for about 6 months. And the devil's telling me I'm going to die, and I'm standing on the word of God. Pastor Benny Hinn gets up to preach, and it's not a healing service. He points right at me. He said, there is a gentleman right there getting healed of throat cancer. I just want you to know. It felt like something came out of my throat. Like, you know, it's like a cork in a wine bottle. I just heard. And it just came out of there. I tell you what, one lady, I couldn't sing. And the lady said, my God, she says, you got a voice like an angel. I said, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, it's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's doing. And so those are things that have happened in my life. And I'm telling you these stories because I want to encourage you for a moment that no matter what you have going on in your life, in your body, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Amen. He's able to do that. He's able to do great and awesome things. And so now, things go on and life goes on. And then about 10 years ago, I got diagnosed with a bad esophagus. You know what that means? Food doesn't go down. You choke up all the time. You got to go into the hospital. They stick this long thing on the inside of you and stretch your esophagus so that you can swallow. And so I'm meeting this doctor called Al Karain. And so Al Karain says, he says, this is for the rest of your life. He says, you've got an allergy in your esophagus that is causing your esophagus to swell up. And he says, every 6 months, you're going to have to come and get this thing stretched. And I said, well, you know, I went once, and then he told me that after the second time. I said, Doctor Al Karain, I said, I'm going to have to go. I said, you obviously, you can't get the job done. I said, you're telling me I got to come here every 6 months and get this done in my life. Obviously, you can't get it done. I said, and the last time I woke up, I was gagging. You're not supposed to wake up when you're getting this procedure. You're supposed to be half in, half out. But I woke up when he's sticking that thing in my mouth, and I'm gagging on that table. And I said, no, that's enough of this food. Foolishness. You know what? I don't need to go through this every 6 months. God, no, 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 no. You know? And so I said, El Karain, I'm going to go talk to El Shaddai. Because El Shaddai knows exactly what the problem is in my body, and he created me, and he knows how to mend it and put all the pieces back together again. And so I've talked to El Shaddai, and I got to tell you, it's been about 5 years, and I've never had another procedure. I ain't planning on having another procedure, and that's how good God is. But the Bible is clear about one thing. It says, the Bible declares in John's gospel. How many of you like the gospel of John? Pastor, I feel the Lord spoke to me throughout worship, and he told me there's going to be an explosion of young people coming through this house. There is something that I really believe that's about to happen through the youth. It just stirred me. I actually sat there, and I don't know how this ministers to you or not, but I felt I was in the youth center right here. I believe there's another building that might be built that will become the sanctuary, and this will become the youth center. I don't know. I just throwing that out there, but I just saw this place packed with young people. I'm telling you, I really feel there's an explosion of youth going to come to this church. Whew. My God. Anyway, you do whatever you want with that. That's just free. I didn't say just save the Lord. I said I had a witness in my spirit. Hallelujah. But God is good. Amen. Well, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, I love John. He said this in verse 12. Whew. My. Are you having fun yet? Can I tell you, before I go to John chapter 14, verse 12, let me tell you, I've been hanging around with South Africans all week, and ministers that have come from all different places, and they're at a conference, when I thought I was going to meet South Africans, I was planning on meeting black people. They're white. Anyway, it was all good, but they're white, and they don't even have a tan. I said, you guys got all that sun and you don't even tan. The one guy said, it's so hot in South Africa at times. It says it's plus 45. He says the asphalt melts on the road. I went, dear Jesus, Lord help the South Africans. Send them some snow. Next winter, bypass us. Send it to South Africa. Hallelujah. They need help down there. But anyway, my South African friend told me about it in this church. He got a church of 4,000 or 5,000 people. And as I was talking to him, there's a lady that was pregnant, that the baby was dead in the womb. The baby was absolutely dead in the womb. And the lady was going to go to the hospital and get the C-section and get the baby removed. All of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to the pastor, and the pastor said, deliver the baby at the church. We'll put you in the room down there to do things different than here. I don't know if you want to deliver a baby here or not. But anyway, they have midwives. And so the midwives went into a room and they delivered this baby. And the pastor had a word from God that baby was going to live and not die. And so the midwives delivered the baby. The baby's dead. They're praying for the baby. They're slapping the baby on the behind, and they're just praying and believing God. And my friend, he says, I'm videotaping all this happening. He says, I'm videotaping it. And he says, I prayed. I said, God, let them stop praying. They're going to break all the bones in the baby's body. But, you know, because they're praying, they're laying hands, they're just going on. And then so they went and told the pastor that was preaching. He said, the baby is born. We've been praying for an hour. The baby is dead. He said, all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. He says, here's, takes my sermon notes and wrap the baby in it. He says, because Jesus said he sent his word and healeth thee. They took the pastor's sermon notes. They wrapped the baby in the sermon notes. Less than 2 minutes, the baby sneezed and came to life. I'm telling you, that's powerful stuff, man. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, he's not just the God of South Africa. He's the God of Canada. I tell you what, I can't believe I'm preaching in a confederation town. That's a dream come true. I said, God, I thank you that we get to preach in places that, God, you're opening doors. This is awesome. You know, this is where Canada was birthed. This is where our nation came forth and unrolled. This is a wonderful place. But I just got thinking, if we're going to have revival in a move of God, wouldn't it be good it'd be birthed right in the same place they found the nation, that it would just be begin to pour out? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm expecting a move of God to come out of Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. Hallelujah. Woo. My God, I got to read scripture, don't I? It's already starting to get hot. It says in John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, everybody say in his name, in the name of Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Praise the Lord. Did he say he maybe do it? He said, if we ask anything in his name, he'll what? He'll do it. Now listen to me, church. The name of Jesus is more than just a good luck charm or a nice symbol thing that we do in church. It's powerful. The name of Jesus is the covenant name. The name of Jesus is the name of the new covenant. If you read the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the guarantee of this covenant. And so you know what? When you go in the name of Jesus, you are guaranteeing what you've asked the Father in His name. A lot of people, listen to me, shouldn't I? Dear Lord. Well, since you gave me permission, sister, I will. Now, if we have a problem with the pastor after, I'll tell him, go see you. You gave me permission. Listen, everybody in the body of Christ, even amongst all our faith circles, are standing on the promise. They're waiting for the promise. They're speaking the promise. The Lord spoke to me. He says, you know what a promise is? A promise is something that you place in your future. In Isaiah, God promised that by His stripes, we would be healed. And you know, the Word of God, the Old Testament, is a promise. But it says it's a promise till the seed should come. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something tonight. The seed has come. Now, the Lord told me, He says, you got to stop walking by a promise-based theology and you got to get living in a new covenant reality. Because the promise is old covenant and the covenant is new. Oh my God. You got to read the book of Hebrews. We're not living in promise. The Bible says all of God's promises have already been yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's not coming, it's here. So when I pray, I'm not standing on the promise. I'm standing on the covenant. I'm not believing for what is coming. I'm believing in what has already come. And Isaiah said, by His stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, we were, past tense. Well, if I am and I were, in good new Phoenicians, I is. Amen. I is the heel of the Lord. And how do you know you're healed? Because, see, in healing in the Old Testament was a promise. In the New Covenant, healing is the children's bread. And I'm done eating crumbs. I'm done waiting for a little crumb to fall off my master's table when I can have the whole loaf. I love healing, but I am heading towards divine life. I love getting healed. I thank God I got healed. I'm going to thank God more that I don't get sick. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Now, let me read you this in the Amplified Bible. Everybody say it's going to be loud. Why? It's amplified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says in John chapter 14, verse 12, says, assuredly, assure you, the most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. He will do even greater things because I go to the Father. And I myself will grant. Why? He's the guarantee. See, He will grant. Why? He's the guarantee. My God. Do we get that? I take people say, well, I asked. You know what? You got to know when you say in the name of Jesus, it's not a if, and, or but. It's a guarantee. Right? I didn't write this. Don't get mad at me. Hallelujah. He will grant whatever you ask in my name. Listen, I love the Amplified. I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am. When you ask in the name of Jesus, you present all that He is. Whew. All that He is. Why? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That asks anything in my name, as presenting all that I am, He'll do it. You believe that tonight? There is power in the name of Jesus. We had a lady in our church that was pregnant, 3 months pregnant. They couldn't find the baby's heartbeat. She came to me and said, Pastor, she says, they want to abort my baby. said, they can't find a heartbeat in my womb. Said, we've gone three times for ultrasound and there's no heartbeat. They tell me they're going to abort my baby. I remember the Sunday morning. My God. There she is. She comes and the Lord says, he says, you declare my word into that womb and that heart will begin to beat. So there we are, and she comes up. And this is in Capilano, and I'm no Smith Wigglesworth, but God is God wherever you declare his name. Amen? You know what? I think sometimes, you know, reading books have done us harm. Because then we measure ourselves to other people. And then we think if we're not exactly like them, then God won't move. Listen to me. God is God. All I got to do is have faith in God. R.W. Schoenbach said, you don't have a problem. All you need is faith in God. And so anyway, we're there and I lay my hands on that womb and we begin to declare. I say, you go tell the doctor before he decides to abort that baby, one more ultrasound. One more. One more. So she went. She called me up. She was so excited. She said, 166. I said, what? She said, 166. 166 what? 166 beats a minute. I dedicated Caleb, one of a different spirit. Hallelujah. And so let me tell you something. People say, well, did she get healed? I don't know if that might be our first recorded resurrection. It don't matter. There's no heartbeat. That baby came to life. Why? Because God's word works when we ask. But see, now I don't pray. Now I figured out, how could I pray before for a promise? I'm believing for a promise. A promise is something in my future that has yet not been fulfilled. And so how can I pray in faith in the future when the Bible says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, you know, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet not seen. But now, when I moved out of a promise mentality into new covenant realities, the promise is made now. So now I can pray in the now faith. Why? I'm praying in my covenant, not in my promise. Whew. Woo! Glory to God. I tell you, the Lord's been showing me some stuff. It's wrecking me. Wrecking me. You ever had the Lord speak to you and you can't move? You just go, whew. You know, down home people go, ay, ay, ay. But you know, it's like you sit there and go, whew. Ay, ay, ay. Ooh, ay, ay, ay. Ooh, you know what I mean? Like it just knocks you right, you know? And so I'm just like, dear God, we are new covenant people trying to live in an Old Testament way. We need to live in a new covenant way. The promises are better. He's the guarantee.